here's a story from The World.
The impacts that climate change is causing lead to a different kind of problem, a security threat. It's something that our friend Lacey Healy at the PRX National Security Podcast, Things That Go Boom, has looked at closely. Here again is Lacey.
Flooding and wildfires might not immediately come to mind when you think about national security. Usually that's the more obvious stuff that goes boom. But over the past three decades, the security community has come to see climate change more broadly that way. The first explicit recognition of the threat came in 1990, when a Naval War College report warned that naval operations in the coming half century could be drastically affected by the impact of global climate change. But concerns have only grown, as climate has become, according to the Pentagon in 2015, a present security threat, not strictly a long-term risk. It's a big topic, so we decided to bite off a smaller piece of it and focus solely on the risks from climate migration. Overseas, but also first, right here at home.
I'm Jesse Keenan. I'm an associate professor of real estate at the Tulane School of Architecture.
Jesse focuses on climate adaptation and the places where we live and work here in the U.S. He's the guy you call if you're not sure if you should build that third mansion on the Florida coast. But he's also convinced that we are on the cusp of a great northern migration that could make millions of us more vulnerable. He says people will flee flooding and wildfires on the coasts and deadly heat waves in the south.
Yeah, I think some portion of our country will participate in a great northern expanse. You know, the range of plants and animals in the northern hemisphere is moving slower and slower north. We measure this across dozens of species. They're slowly moving north. Well, guess what? People are going to do the same thing, right? Over time, we are going to slowly move further and further north until we become an extreme annoyance to our Canadian neighbors.
In a major report, ProPublica found that in the coming years, Buffalo, New York might come to feel more like Tempe, Arizona does today. And fresh water will become even more scarce. As a result of climate change, places like Miami, New York, and Boston will be profoundly altered. The report said, imagine dozens of new bridges connecting the islands of Philadelphia.
And I think that the scale, you know, when you think about other great American migrations like the Dust Bowl, you know, it's 4 to 5 times the size of the Dust Bowl potentially. Oh. It could easily be 30 million people or more, you know, approximately 8% to 10% of the population may be in transit. And these are relatively conservative estimates.
To be fair, Keenan is talking about a shift over a longer period of time. In 2019, the intelligence community's worldwide threat assessment called climate change an urgent and growing threat to our national security. There's even a think tank here in D.C. dedicated solely to examining the security risks posed by climate change.
I'm Francesco Femmia. I am the co-founder and a research director at the Center for Climate and Security.
He's trying to figure out how prepared the military might be for what's to come, especially where climate migration is concerned, and especially in the world's hotspots. Although sidebar here, he agrees with Jesse Keenan that this is also a big concern right here domestically.
I spoke with a former vice admiral of the Coast Guard, and I asked him, you know, if we were to get a Katrina Sandy-style storm.
Massive chunks of boardwalk littering the streets, street after avenue after cul-de-sac.
One after the other.
And with much of New Orleans now underwater, authorities are focused on search and rescue.
And then, meanwhile, we have wildfires raging in the west.
Smoke mushroomed into thick blankets of clouds so vast they could be seen from space.
This was 3 years ago, I asked. Are we prepared to deal with that in a way that's acceptable to the American public? He said flatly, no, we're not prepared. And it was a little bit surprising. That has consequences for political stability in this country and potentially for security. And that's now.
Even in the U.S., it's not unreasonable to think that the impacts of climate change could lead to food and water shortages, devastate homes and land, and in some cases, cause mass migration. And all of these things can aggravate existing stressors.
Climate change is what we in our community call a threat multiplier, to say that climate change makes other security problems worse. It's really that simple. So if there's a place that doesn't get a lot of water already, then climate change might drive increased drought and a decrease in precipitation in those areas. And when people don't have a lot of water, that can lead to instability, displacement of peoples, and ultimately even conflict.
Syria, in some ways, is a good example of how climagration can become a stressor. Francesco says he became interested in Syria almost by accident. His team was studying a water project in Libya at the time, and this was 2012. So they were poring over precipitation maps from the previous 20 years.
And we noticed that Syria was bright red, and bright red means bad.
The red showed a dramatic precipitation decline.
And we started looking in further because at the time, the Syrian civil war was in its essentially its first year. And we thought, well, okay, that's interesting. And we noted that there was a major drought, actually considered the most extreme drought in its recorded history, that happened from 2007 until 2010.
Later research determined climate change had made the drought two or three times more likely. Coupled with natural resource mismanagement by the Assad regime, it decimated large swaths of farmland and sent as many as 2 million people to urban centers. When they arrived, many found that the city that they turned to for a new start didn't have the capacity to house, clothe, or care for them.
And there were other social and economic inequalities at play. There was favoritism from Assad towards certain ethnic groups over others. There were all kinds of reasons why people were upset.
Residents pour onto the streets to mourn 138 people killed overnight by government shelling.
Of course, you can't draw a direct line from climate change to the Syrian civil war. And you can't draw a direct line from climagration in Syria to climagration in the U.S. But Syria can teach us a lesson here about the future of conflict in the age of climate crisis. Sure, we will have water wars and direct battles over resources, but most conflicts don't sprout from a single source. They're a knotted collection of grievances, several pieces of kindling gathered together before they ever find a spark. When the military talks about the climate crisis as a threat multiplier, they're saying that it's going to stack a lot of kindling, enough to start a fire.
Climate change can contribute to displacing people. And when that happens in large numbers, in certain contexts, that can drive conflict, political instability, and then that can drive regional insecurity.
According to the UN, more than 400,000 people have been killed in Syria since the start of the war, and millions more have been displaced. At the same time, countries that have become hosts to Syrian as well as Afghan and Iraqi refugees have seen the reinvigoration of a hyper-nationalistic right wing.
So you get this isolationism, this sort of ethno-nationalism. That's a security problem.
Today, just 1% of the world is considered a hot zone, too hot to live. But if current trends continue, a new study has found that could rise to 19%, affecting a third of the global population. That's a lot of people who would have to move. Francesco says rejoining the Paris Agreement is a no-brainer, but he says we need to go way beyond that. If we don't act faster, he says, just think of this scene in Austin Powers.
It's a parody of a James Bond scene with a bunch of people in this warehouse shooting at each other. And there's a security guard who's facing off against Austin Powers. Austin Powers is driving a steamroller.
Hang on, I'm gonna floor it.
Austin Powers is yelling at the guy, move, get out of the way.
Move.
And for anybody who knows, steamrollers are just really slow. And instead of running out of the way, the security guard puts his hand out and just yells no for about 2 minutes. And then Austin Powers just slowly rolls over.
Right. And that's the thing. It's a slow roll. Maybe that makes it easier to ignore.
That's Lacey Healy from the PRX and National Security Podcast, Things That Go Boom. This story was produced by Ruth Morris and Robin Wise. We've been featuring Things That Go Boom all week on The World. You can check out more of their work wherever you get your podcasts. Their new season is dropping right now.